ప్రథమం సద్గురుం వందే శ్రీకృష్ణం తదనంతరం గురు
Satchit Anand Swarup. Even his body is Satchit Anand. There's no difference between Shri Krishna and his body. Natat samascha bhyadhikascha drishyate natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate. Shvetashvatra Upanishad says that there is no difference between Krishna's body and Krishna. like there is with us. We reside in our body, and when our body dies, it means our soul, we have left our body. So there's a difference between me and my body. But Sri Krishna is his body. That's why one verse I quoted yesterday from Gita says, Ajopi sanna vyayatma, avyayatma. His body is himself, his body is eternal, indivisible, divine, absolute. So that Sri Krishna appears on our earth planet. He is the creator of the universe. He is the governor of all the souls. He is eternally present in three main forms as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. He takes many avatar, the first being as Mahavishnu to create the universe, the second as Garbhodashayi Vishnu to become omnipresent in the universe, the third as Kshirodashayi Vishnu, where he descends in each Brahmand, and then from there he takes many more avatar, like Varaha avatar, Vamana avatar, Matsya avatar, etc., that you're all familiar with. But Swayam Bhagwan Shri Krishna comes on the earth planet once in one day of Brahma. Even when he's visiting this earth planet, something similar to how the king may visit the jail. You see, Maya, or this Mayic world, you can think of that as a jail. For all the souls, a jail or a hospital might be better. A hospital for all the souls who have forgotten themselves. Although we may intellectually know the philosophy that I am the soul, how much of our day do we actually live in that way? We live as if we are the body. That's why our efforts to find happiness are centered around enjoying the world. If we thought, really, I'm the divine soul and I belong to God, then we would automatically look to God for divine happiness, to make our soul happy forever. But since we don't think we're the soul, we think we're the physical body, so we try to find happiness by enjoying the physical things of the world. So we've forgotten our true identity, therefore we're in this hospital. This Mayic world is a big hospital. You can say an insane asylum for those who have forgotten who they are. Just like in the world, if someone doesn't know who they are or who their family is, then you keep them in a mental institution so that they don't, they're not allowed to wander about freely. Similarly, all of us, since we've forgotten our true identity, we're all here in this world. Now God, who is the owner of this big mental hospital, he sends doctors in the world. The saints come to teach us and remind us who we are. And sometimes he himself also takes avatar and visits this world. So then it's like the king visiting a hospital. But just like the doctors and the king himself, they may be in the hospital with the patients, but they themselves are not crazy. The patients are the ones who have lost their mind. The doctor is in his right mind, and so is the king, yet they come and visit this world. Similarly, saints descend in this world to try to help us, but they are not under the bondage of Maya, and they do not forget who they are. Similarly, when Krishna visits this earth planet, he's still Supreme God. Don't think that just because he's appearing in this world that he's just like us. Well, he's still Supreme God. Yet we also learned yesterday that through his Yoga Maya power, he's able to forget who he is and still remain who he is. That's what Yoga Maya means. Yoga means keeping in touch with his true divinity internally and externally, performing ordinary light actions. Like I described yesterday, Krishna had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to talk. If you would have seen him when he was a few years old, he would have looked like any 3-year-old, missing a couple of front teeth. trying to talk and not being able to pronounce his words properly and only knowing, you know, a few words, not having a very large vocabulary. He had to go to Sandipani Muni's ashram to study the Vedas. Think about that. Who is Shri Krishna? Shri Krishna is the one who produced the Vedas in the beginning. He is the one who is known by the Vedas, meaning by through the Vedas, who do you know about? Shri Krishna. And he is the only knower of the Vedas. And he went to a Gurukul to study the meaning of those Vedas. So he performs such sweet leelas through the help of his Yogamaya Shakti that attracts the heart of the devotees like us. Because it's not that attractive to think of him as Almighty Supreme God. We want something we can relate to, and we can relate to Krishna missing two front teeth and trying to talk but not having very good pronunciation and growing up and playing with his friends. We can relate to that. We can love Krishna in that form. So through his Yogamaya Shakti, while he remains Supreme God, he can also perform such sweet leelas. And he does so when he's here on this earth planet. But I left you with a question yesterday that when Shri Krishna is in Braj, then he's performing all of these loving leelas. And other than in rare instances, he never reveals the fact that he is Supreme Almighty God. And the saints, other than in rare instances, don't remember that he's God or think of him as God, because Yogamaya has made them forget and made Krishna forget. Now when Shri Krishna is in Braj performing such amazing leelas, then why would he leave Braj and go to Mathura and then to Dwarika? Leaving not only Braj, but leaving Radharani, leaving the gopis, Gwalvals, his mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda Baba, leaving all of them, never to return even once in 100 years. Why would he do that? So to understand this, we need to understand that Shri Krishna has several forms. We talked about a few of them already. We talked about that Shri Krishna has a formless aspect, Nirakar Brahma. That form is not useful for the devotees because you can't see him, you can't talk to him, he can't do any pleasing leelas. He has his almighty form as Mahavishnu of Vaikunth. In this form he's revealing pure Aishwarya, pure almightiness, with no touch of Madhurya. And as Krishna of Braj, he's revealing pure Madhurya with no touch of Aishwarya. So it's the same Shri Krishna who is revealing his almightiness as Vishnu and revealing his absolute lovingness as Krishna. So in Braj, pure Madhurya, no Aishwarya, and in Vaikunth as Vishnu, pure Aishwarya, no Madhurya. That's why there's no leelas in Vaikunth Gaur. Now, in between pure Aishwarya and pure Madhurya, meaning in between Krishna of Vaikunth Abode and Krishna of Braj, in between there are some gradations where you have a mixture of Madhurya and Aishwarya. So we have Shri Krishna of Mathura, we have Shri Krishna of Dwarika, and we also have Shri Krishna in the form of Ram. These are the three main mixed Aishwarya and Madhurya forms. So it's actually a gradation. Now from Vaikunth Abode, where it's pure Aishwarya, if you add some Madhurya, so now some of the Aishwarya is being hidden by that Madhurya, then Shri Krishna appears in the form of Ram. So Ram is somewhat loving, but still quite formal. But he does do lilas. And his divine abode is called Saket. Now, Shri Krishna had already come as Ram long before he came as Krishna. In this ascension as Krishna, he was to reveal his form as in his pure loving form as he was in Braj, plus his Mathuradhi Shri Krishna form and his Dwarikadhi Shri Krishna form. So from Vaikunth to Shri Ram, you've added some Madhurya and some of the Aishwarya has been hidden. If you add more Madhurya and there's even less Aishwarya, then we have Shri Krishna of Dwarika. If you add even more Madhurya and there's only a little bit of Aishwarya left, you have Shri Krishna of Mathura. And then if it is just full Madhurya and no Aishwarya, you have Shri Krishna of Braj. So these are actually different forms of Shri Krishna and these are different divine abodes. So you can attain Shri Krishna of Braj, which in the divine abode, that's called Golok abode. You can attain Shri Krishna of Mathura and go to that divine abode. You can go to Dwarika abode. I don't mean Dwarika in Gujarat, I mean in the divine world. You can go to Saket Lok of Shri Ram. You can go to Vaikunth Lok, the almighty abode. So Shri Krishna came and he was already planning to reveal these three different forms of himself. Braj wale Shri Krishna, Mathura wale Shri Krishna, Dwarika wale Shri Krishna. Even within Braj wale Shri Krishna, you can break it down into more classifications because you have general Braj Leelas where the gopis and Gwalbals and Madhya Yashoda, everybody is involved. Like many of the Bal Leelas of Shri Krishna when he's grazing the cows and, you know, he goes by with the Gwalbals and the gopis are watching him go by and Madhya Yashoda has sent him out the door with his lunch. That's like a general Braj Leela. Or let's say they're playing Holi and it's the Gwalbals and Shri Krishna against the gopis and Radharani, that's a general Braj Leela. Sweeter than this is Kunjavali Shri Krishna. He does Kunja Leelas, which is a specific type of Leela where only Radha Krishna and the gopis are there. For instance, let's say the gopis go to a secluded Kunj. A kunj means a secluded area in the forest where, not like a tangled forest, but like a nice forest with a big tree, like a big kadamba tree growing over with the branches hanging down, but a nice open spot underneath with nice soft grass. And there's creepers, vines climbing the tree. Now the tree itself has some flowers on it. The vines also have flowers, so even the trunk of the tree is wrapped by the flowers of the vine. The low shrubs surrounding the kunj also have flowers. Even the grass has little different colored flowers. Like a nice, beautiful environment for Radha and Krishna to be. So let's say gopis find a beautiful kunj somewhere near Barsana, and they go out and set up a nice decorated swing for Radha and Krishna. And then they invite Lari Lal to come and sit on the swing and the gopis push the swing and then some gopis are pushing, some gopis are singing in some rag. This is like a Kunj Lila where all the gopis come and enjoy the association of Radha and Krishna in this way. Sometimes they might have a dining lila like that where they prepare a place in a kunj for Radha and Krishna to come and dine. And then the gopis offer them food and fan them and Radha and Krishna have bhojan. Now there's also an even sweeter form of Shri Krishna, which is Nikunjavali Shri Krishna, where he does Nikunj lilas. The Nikunj is those lilas where only Radha Krishna and the eight personal aides of Radharani, Ashtamaha Sakhis, like Lalita, Vishakha, those eight personal aids of Radha, those eight gopis, Radha and Krishna, if they're doing any lila where it's only them, that's Nikunj. And then there's one more level beyond this. When there's only Radha and Krishna and the gopis are watching from the outside, they're not directly in the kunj with them. So when it's only Radha and Krishna, that's called Nibhrita Nikunj lila. So these are all different forms of Krishna. You have Nibhrita Nikunj Shri Krishna, Nikunj Shri Krishna, Kunj Shri Krishna, Brajwali Shri Krishna, Mathuradhish Shri Krishna, Dwarikadhish Shri Krishna, Saket Lokwali Shri Krishna, in other words, Ram, and Vaikunthwali Shri Krishna, in other words, Vishnu. This is the same Bhagwan who is revealing different types of divine bliss in these different forms, and correspondingly there are different abodes. And he's revealing that bliss through different types of lilas. All of these divine abodes exist eternally and they're all omnipresent. So Shri Krishna in all of his forms is omnipresent along with all of his divine abodes. That's how a saint who has attained any form of Krishna sees that form of Krishna omnipresent and sees his divine abode. Now when Krishna came most recently, he revealed all of those Nibhrita Nikunj, Nikunj, Kunj and Braj lilas for the first 11 and a half years that he was in Braj. Then he had planned that I'm going to go to Mathura and reveal a slightly more almighty side of my personality. So he went and he went to Sandipani Muni's Gurukul, and there one of his friends was Sudama, and he grew up there some more in the Gurukul and studied Vedas. That was another phase of his life where he was revealing those lilas where he is friendly. But if you look at his friendship with Sudama compared to his friendship with the Gwalbals, it wasn't quite as free. For instance, the Gwalbals, they would ride on Krishna's back like a horse. They would wrestle with Krishna. They would tease Krishna. Sudama was a little more formal. He loved Krishna very much, but he wasn't so informal with him that he would tease him or wrestle with him or do anything like that. So Krishna's friendly still in that Mathurawali form, but it's not pure Madhuri. Then in Dwarika, he became even more formal. He was a great ruler. So we understand that Shri Krishna has different forms, and he had already planned to reveal some of these forms while he was on this earth. Therefore, he had to leave Braj and go to Mathura and then to Dwarika. But you would be interested to know that those saints of Braj, the gopis, Gwalbals, etc., they never felt that Krishna had left. Not just did they never feel he had left, for them he never did leave. Why? Remember I explained that for a saint, God is always omnipresent. So how can they be separate from Krishna after having attained him? Krishna only went to Mathura and Dwarika with that form that we could have seen. Okay, remember, he has his avatar form that it can be seen by anyone. Yet he's still omnipresent. So with that form, he left Braj and he went to Mathura. And the whole world saw, oh, poor gopis, Krishna's left them, he's gone to Mathura. Then the whole world saw, Krishna's gone to Dwarika. When Shri Krishna was in Mathura, he sent his good friend and his advisor, Uddhava. Uddhava was the foremost jnani of that time. But Shri Krishna felt like Uddhava's knowledge is incomplete because he thinks of God as formless. He thinks of me as his friend, yet he doesn't know that I am omnipresent in my personal form. So he said, I have to find a way to grace him with this knowledge. So he decided to send him to the gopis in Braj. But think of the situation. Uddhava is a personal friend of Krishna. He's the greatest jnani of his time, and the gopis externally are behaving like uneducated village women. They had no education of Vedas. They didn't even know the alphabet. And Krishna wanted to send Uddhava to them, to surrender to them and make them his guru. So how to do that? He thought, if I just tell him, go and learn from the gopis, he'll say, what are you talking about? I'm a jnani. You're telling me to go to a village and learn from these illiterate ladies, the gopis, the illiterate cowherd ladies? Really? So Krishna, he thought of a different way. He said, Uddhava, you know, not far from here in Braj, the gopis miss me very much. They're thinking about me all of the time, and their heart is burning in separation from me. Now, in order to reveal the greatness of Krishna's love and of the gopis' love for Krishna, the gopis manifested their viraha for Krishna. Viraha and Milan are two natural phases of the divine experience after meeting with Sri Krishna. It means that after God realization, there can never be any separation from Krishna, yet the experience of the association with Krishna is like a wave. So it's not of one kind. Even though there's absolute unity with Krishna, yet sometimes the saint feels that, where is Krishna? Oh, he's gone. I have to find him. And then he meets with Krishna, and the excitement of meeting with him, that milan, further heightens his experience of the divine bliss. That's why that bliss is pratikshana vardhamanam narad bhakti darshan. It's ever growing every moment. Because Sri Krishna sometimes gives his separation and sometimes he gives his meeting. Yet in his separation, the whole world becomes the form of Sri Krishna. And in meeting, they see Sri Krishna at one place. But they're never separate from him. So they were expressing this viraha feeling to the whole world, that the world should see this state of viraha of the gopis. Yet they were never separate from Krishna. The whole world thought, oh, they're pining for Krishna, they're missing Krishna, they're sad without him. So Krishna said, Uddhava, you have to go and teach them that God is omnipresent, so why to worry for anyone? Just leave this attachment to Krishna and just meditate on God's omnipresence. So Uddhava said, oh yes, I'll go and teach them this. And when he went there and started talking to these gopis, he slowly had the realization that my jnana is here and the gopis' jnana is far beyond what I have. Because Uddhava thought of God as only formless. He never thought of God as being in a personal form and being omnipresent in that personal form. So he slowly realized, and the gopis said to him, Uddhava, Krishna never left Braj. What are you talking about? He's here right now. You can't see him? So there's a long description of this meeting between Uddhava and the gopis in the Bhagavatam, and even more description by Surdasji in many of his pada. So, in the end, Uddhava surrendered to the gopis, and the gopis graced him, and then Uddhava saw, oh, Krishna's right here, he's playing with the gopis, he's playing with the gwalvals. And he was in such a state of divine ecstasy, experiencing this, that he was just wandering around Braj, like lost, just completely absorbed in this experience. And after some time, he kind of became more aware, more conscious, and he asked one gopi that, how long have I been here in Braj? 6 months, he was told. He said, oh, Krishna must be wondering where I am. He sent me here. I have to go back to Mathura. So then he went back to Mathura and he prayed to Krishna when he returned. He said, Asa maho charana renu jusha mahansyam vrindavane kimapi gulmana taushadhinam yadustyajam svajanamarya patham chahitva bhejur mukunda padavi Shruti Dhirvimrigyam Bhagavatam. O Krishna, you have really graced me by sending me to the gopis. And I'd like you to grace me with one more thing. Yes, Uddho, what is that? Please grace me that I could take the form of a flowering plant or a creeper in Braj, in Vrindavan. Why? So that when the gopis walk by, then the dust from their feet that goes up in the air when you walk, then that will come and fall on my head. And I can just always keep getting the foot dust of the gopis. Imagine a great jnani saint, the greatest jnani of that time, asking for the foot dust of the gopis. So the point I was making is, Shri Krishna never left Braj. Only in the form we could see, he left Braj. Only to reveal those other forms of himself, slightly more almighty, mixed with Madhurya type lilas, for those devotees who prefer that form of Krishna. He wanted to reveal the different options, you can say. But there's one more question that many people ask, that why do we always chant Radhe Govinda, Radhe Shyam? Why not Rukmini Krishna, Rukmini Krishna? After all, didn't Krishna go and he married Rukmini? People don't know that Rukmini and Radha are not two. They are one. See, one time Lakshmi and Shri Krishna, Lakshmi and Vishnu, they were there in Kshirsagar. And Lakshmi is always pressing Vishnu's feet. And Vishnu is reclined on Sheshnag and he just has his eyes closed. So Lakshmi is thinking to herself, I wonder, it looks like he's meditating on something. I wonder who he's thinking of or what he's thinking of. Let me ask him the next time he opens his eyes. So the next time he opened his eyes, she asked, and he revealed that he's always thinking of those lilas of Radha and Krishna of Nikunj, Kunj Nikunj, Nibhrit Nikunj. That's also called Vrindavan Lilas. So he talked about Vrindavan abode. Vrindavan is the divine abode where those Kunj Nikunj, Nibhrit Nikunj Lilas happen. So he described Vrindavan to Lakshmi. He talked about how Radha and Krishna are always gracing the saints there with such lilas. How even the birds, the deer, the peacocks, the animals, the bumblebees, the plants, the trees, how they're all saints who have taken that form to enjoy the lilas in that abode. So hearing that description, Lakshmi thought, I also want to see that. I also want to experience that. She went and did devotion. Yadhvan chaya shrir lalana charattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhrita vrata Bhagavatam. She went and did devotion with the goal of getting to join in those lilas, like the Ras Lila, Maras Lila. That's another Kunj type of lila. She wanted to experience that. But seeing as she herself is Aishwarya Shakti personified, so how could the Aishwarya Shakti be there in such a Madhurya Lila? It's not possible. When it's pure Madhurya, then the Aishwarya is just lean, you can say, in that madhurya, in that prem. So she couldn't receive entrance to Maharaj, she couldn't receive entrance to divine Vrindavan, but she was able to receive some kind of compromise, you can say. Shri Krishna graced her to come as Rukmini. See, in Vaikunth, there's no revelation of the Madhurya. But in Dwarika, there's some revelation of the Madhurya mixed with quite a bit of Aishwarya. So Lakshmi came as Rukmini and then got married to Shri Krishna and was his main queen there in Dwarika and got to experience that kind of Dwarika Leela. Now this talk of marriage when it comes to God is very different, even though they may do the same ceremony. When Shri Krishna and Rukmini ji got married, they would have done the same ceremony that we see that we do in this world. But what is that marriage? See, Lakshmi and Vishnu, who are they? I explained that Vishnu is Ansh of Shri Krishna. So who is Lakshmi? Sansha Kamala Shaila Putri Tam Radhikam Shakti Dhatrim Namama. Radhika Upanishad says Kamala or Lakshmi is Ansha of Radha. Radha is Shakti Dhatrim. She's the one who gives power to all the almighty field. So just as Vishnu is part of Shri Krishna's personality, Lakshmi is part of Radha's personality. So Vishnu and Krishna are not two. Lakshmi and Radha are not two. In fact, Radha and Krishna are not two. Yeyam Radha yashcha Krishno rasabdhir dehe naikah kridanartham dvidhabhut. Same Radhika Upanishad says, whatever is Radha, the same is Krishna. Whatever is Krishna, the same is Radha. They're one. One means not two. They appear in two forms, that's it. Why? To do leelas. If it's Radha herself, what leela can she do? If it's Krishna himself, what leela could he do? So, you can say Krishna himself becomes Radha, or Radha herself becomes Krishna, or Radha eternally exists as Radha and as Krishna, or Krishna eternally exists as Krishna and Radha. It's all the same. Radha and Krishna are absolutely one. And they eternally appear in two forms, even though they only have one body. Not two bodies, one body, but in two forms. One mind, one body, one soul, but two forms, Radha and Krishna. And through that, they reveal the ras of their leelas. So, Radha and Krishna don't have to get married, they're already one. In some of their avatar, they do get married. In fact, in this most recent avatar, Radha and Krishna did a marriage leela. There are many leelas described by even by Kripaluji Maharaj himself. Even when Radha and Krishna were little kids, their parents had decided that they were going to get married. So Radha and Krishna had been engaged to each other at that time. Then when they were older, they actually got married. The Purohit was Brahma himself who came and performed that marriage. So Radha and Krishna did get married, although they don't in every avatar of Shri Krishna. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but it's totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They're eternally one. They eternally exist together in Vrindavan and Golok abode. Shri Krishna, in his form as Vishnu, is eternally together with Radharani's form, Lakshmi. And so in Dwarika, the same Lakshmi came as Rukmini and they were married there. What's the big deal? It's all the same. So Shri Krishna came to Dwarika to reveal those kinds of leelas, and to help him reveal those leelas, Radharani came, or Lakshmi came, as Rukmini. So this is all just God's grace, that He manifests Himself in these different forms and performs these different kinds of leelas, so that the different types of devotees can find leelas that appeal to them. That's our devotional material through which we actually do bhakti. That's the point of all of this. Understanding about who is Krishna, that's just the first step. Then the next obvious question comes, what does that mean to us? Why should we care who Shri Krishna is? Well, the answer is very straightforward. Mama ivansho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana Gita. We are all Shri Krishna's ansh, sanatana ansh. He is our anshi. So it means, technically speaking, we're related to Him. I say technically because it's when you talk about what is the soul or what is God. Okay, God is the one giving life to all the souls. What is the soul? The soul is a power of God. So it's also called ansh of God. Ansh means a part of God's power. So we are ansh and He is our anshi. And it's natural for the ansh to be attracted to His anshi. Like if you have a clump of dirt in your hand, that dirt belongs to the earth. This dirt is the ansh and the earth is the anshi. And if you let go of the dirt, it immediately is attracted to His anshi. So we are all naturally attracted to Shri Krishna. Divyo Deva Narayano Mata Pita Bhrata Surit Gati. Subhala Upanishad says that in a more personal way, because that ansh to anshi, that's a very technical description of our relationship to Him. If you want to understand it in a more personal way, He is our mother, He is our father, He is our sister, brother, friend, well-wisher, child, son, daughter. He is our everything. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. So we have a personal relationship with Him. And we have all of the personal relationships in one with Him. So He is our true mother because we can never be separated from Him. He is our true father, our true friend. Whereas the relationships in this world are only temporary. They last for this life and this life alone. We don't remember who was our mother or father in our past life. And we've had uncountable mothers and fathers and friends and children in all of our uncountable past lives. But it's so convenient. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna that combines all of those relationships in one. So we can get all of our desire for that kind of personal relationship satisfied in one place. But we've forgotten. Our state is like the one of the father and son who were separated because the father actually got angry at the son when he was just a teenager. And he kicked him out of the house. So the son left and he said, I'll show him, I'll make something of myself. So he did. He became a very successful businessman. And after becoming so successful, he decided, now's the time for me to go back to my original village and meet my father and show him how great I have become without his help. So he was driving his car back towards that village, but his car broke down that night. So he had to spend the night in Dharmashala while the car was getting fixed, and then he was going to continue in the morning. Now his father missed his son very much. So much so that you can say he was half out of his mind in separation from his son. So he was always just wandering around from here to there, village to village, hoping to find his son one day. Now, his same father happened to be in that same dharmashala that same night, and they ended up in adjacent rooms to each other. The father, though, being half mad, half out of his mind in separation from his son, was always kind of, you know, just calling out, laughing, crying, yelling throughout the night. So his son next door, he wasn't getting any sleep at all. So he went and said to the manager, you know, he called him out in the hallway and he said, you know, what kind of crazy people do you like let stay in this dharmashala? I'm not getting any sleep whatsoever. So hearing this going on out in the hallway, his father said, nobody gets to talk about me like that. And he went out into the hallway. And the two of them started arguing. So they came closer and closer and closer, and the arguments growing more and more and more heated. And they're saying things like, you know, do you know who I am? I am so-and-so from that village. And the father started to realize who he was looking at, because the son said, you know, I'm so-and-so from that village. And the father was like, no, I kicked my son out when he was just a boy. And this is my name, I'm Thakur. And the son said, yes, my father also kicked me out when I was a boy. And my name is also Thakur. Then the father realized, and his face totally changed. And from being angry and so tense, all the tension melted away, and he started looking at his son with love in his face. So now the son became really afraid that this person is really crazy. One second he's looking at me like he wants to hit me, and the next second he's looking at me like he wants to embrace me. What's going on? And then the father said, son, it's me. I'm that father who kicked you out. And the son said, oh, father, it's you. And then they embraced. Our situation is like that. We've forgotten our divine father. We're not far from him, yet we've forgotten him. Ved says, Dva suparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham parikhasva jate tayoranya pippalam svadvatya nashnan nanyo abhichakashiti jushtam yada pashyatyanya mishamasya mahimana mitivita shoka. Another analogy. That soul and God are like two birds sitting on the same tree. One bird, the soul, has forgotten about his friend, the other bird, God, who's always watching him. Kind of like from a higher branch. And the other bird is just busy trying to enjoy the fruits of that tree. So the fruits of the tree are the outcome of our karmas. So sometimes those fruit are sweet, sometimes they're bitter. But nonetheless, we're always busy trying to enjoy this world, and we've forgotten about our eternal friend, Sayuja Sakaya. He's eternally with us, yet we've eternally forgotten him. We eternally have our back turned to him and our front facing the world. In other words, we're busy trying to enjoy the world and we forget about him. But he has never forgotten us. So, jushtam yada pashyati. If we turn towards him, he is there. We see him, and all of our suffering and difficulty is eliminated forever, and we attain divine bliss. So this is the situation of the soul. We're eternally related to God, but we've eternally forgotten him. And we're eternally seeking happiness, and he is the form of happiness. Raso vaisah rasagvam hevayam labdhva nandi bhavati. Taittiriya Upanishad says, he is ras. We're looking for perfect happiness, and he is perfect happiness, but instead of looking to him, our eternal friend, we're looking to this world for happiness. So we're just getting disappointment after disappointment in this world. Although we get some fleeting enjoyments of this world, we never get any real happiness. Because we're turned away from the source of happiness, God. Or you can say,
आनंद सिंधु मध्य तव वासा दीनु जाने कत मरसि प्यासा.
We're swimming in the ocean of Anand, divine bliss. Yet we don't even know it. Why? And we're dying of thirst. Why? Because our mouth is shut tight. Like swimming in a beautiful ocean of nectar and you're dying of thirst. Just open your mouth and drink it in. But our heart is closed to God. That ras that we want to experience, the divine ras, that has to be experienced in here through God's grace. And even though God, His divine bliss, His divine grace is all omnipresent, yet we can't experience Him because our heart is closed to Him. How is it closed? Because we look to the world for happiness. Now you might say, well, God is in the world, so by enjoying the world, I'm enjoying God. No, it doesn't work that way. If you worship a murti, a stone murti of Shri Krishna, with the feeling that this is a piece of stone carved to look like Shri Krishna, what outcome of that will you get? No outcome of bhakti. You'll just be reborn in the world. Why? Because you attached your mind to a piece of stone. Is Shri Krishna omnipresent? Is He also in that stone? Yes, He is. But you did not attach your mind to Krishna, you attached your mind to the stone. If you worship that stone feeling that Krishna is in this stone and I'm worshipping Krishna who's in this stone, then you'll attain Krishna. That means your mind is attached to Krishna. So, for instance, on the path of bhakti, we're taught that the true form of bhakti, the real integral practice of bhakti is doing rup dhyan of God. So forming an image of Shri Krishna. And then meditating on that image or meditating on His leelas, and along with that do some kirtan. But the main thing is that forming of the image we call rup dhyan. So that image we form, that's not just imagination, because Krishna is in that image. So if you're forming the image and just thinking, oh no, it's my imagination, then you're not getting the full benefit. If you're forming that image of Krishna and you're feeling that this is Shri Krishna, then you're getting the benefit of actually meditating on Krishna. Similarly, you could say, well, Krishna is in this person that I love in the world. So by attaching my mind to this person, I'm attaching my mind to Shri Krishna. No. Unless you're meditating on the fact that Shri Krishna is in this person and you're seeing Krishna in the person, then you're attaching your mind to Krishna. That's fine. You could do arati of your own child. Sit your child up on the altar and bow down to them and do arati and offer food to them just like you would to Shri Krishna. You would attain Krishna if you're seeing Krishna in your child. So it means you're attaching your mind to Krishna, not to the person. This is the essence of bhakti. This is how bhakti works. So although God is omnipresent, if we're not attaching our mind to God, we cannot experience Him. We don't have to go anywhere to find God, but we have to open our heart to receive His grace. We have to turn towards Him. It's also called surrender. He is willing to grace us. He's waiting to give us that divine bliss. So when will He do it? When we open our heart to receive it. Very simple. He'll give it to us for free. He's not demanding anything in return. But He says, at least surrender your heart. Open your heart. Look to Me and I'll grace you. That's it. Just look to Me. Right now you're looking to the world and forgetting about Him. We're eating food. We're attached to our families, we're trying to enjoy everything in the world. God may be omnipresent in the world, it's fine, but if our mind is not attached to Him, we're never going to experience His divine bliss in those worldly things. We'll only experience the worldly things. So we have to do bhakti to gradually turn our mind towards God. Becoming surrendered is a gradual process. And the process of bhakti is very simple. Although, in our scriptures, there are many rules and regulations described for doing bhakti. You should know that there are actually two ways of doing bhakti. There's vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti. So vaidhi bhakti is according to the vidhi nishedh of the Vedas. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Sit in this way. Get up at this time in the morning. Take this kind of bath. Dress in this way. Sit in this way. Do this kind of pranayama. Offer this kind of food. Say this mantra. A whole regulated system of how to worship God. That's vaidhi bhakti. So you can do that. That's fine. But there's another style of bhakti called raganuga bhakti, which is loving God the way the Brajwasis loved God. How did they love Him? Smartavyo satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo najatuchit. Veda Vyasji says in Padma Puran, just take all that vidhi nishedh, do's and don'ts of the Vedas, and bring it just to one do and one don't. The one do is always remember Shri Krishna, and the one don't is never forget Shri Krishna. That's it. That's raganuga bhakti. But to develop, to engage your mind in this remembrance. Remembrance means smaran or chintan. You're always thinking of it. It's in your mind. To engage the mind in that, because the mind is attached in the world, so you have to do something to bring the mind to Krishna. And the best thing to do is think of His leelas. Whatever leela you like. Krishna Sudama Leela, Ram Leela, Krishna and the Gwalbals Leela, Krishna and Mother Yashoda Leela, Krishna and the Gopis, Krishna and Radha. Whatever Leela you like, use that as a means of engaging your mind in thinking of Him. Then you can also do kirtan, because meditating in silence tends to allow the mind to wander more. So if you chant the kirtan, it could be simple Radhe Govinda, and along with that you're meditating on the leela. Or maybe you sing a kirtan that's describing a leela, or you sing a kirtan that's describing the decorations and the form of Radha Krishna. Any kind of kirtan you like that helps keep the mind focused on the meditation. So that's the integral form of bhakti. All the other forms, whether they be puja or arati or any kind of bhakti that you do, that should be used as a means of remembering God. There's no value in the physical performance of any ritual. The value is in the mind being attached to God. So if that physical form of bhakti helps you remember God, then use it. And if it doesn't, then find something that does. Kirtan is recommended for Kaliyuga. That's the best way of bringing the mind into remembrance of God. So that's why in the Bhagavatam, Shukdevji said to King Parikshit that these are the three main forms of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. Tasmad Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyo Bhagavan Nirnam. Shravan means what you're doing right now. Either you're listening to the philosophy or you're listening to a leela. Kirtan means singing the names of God, singing the leelas and virtues of God. And smaran is the most important, because kirtan you can be doing from your mouth and you can still be doing smaran of the world. So you have to be doing smaran of God plus kirtan.
or smaran of God plus shravan. Smaran is main, and kirtan and shravan are helpers. So these three are the main way of practicing bhakti if you just want to simplify it and get the most out of your time. So maybe you can take some time every day to sit like you are now. It might not be for as long as this, but you can take some time and sit and do shravan, kirtan, smaran. Think of Krishna and his lilas and thereby purify your heart, and through that process you're gradually turning towards him. And when you become fully sanmukh to him, fully surrendered, there's no delay from his side. You immediately receive his grace, which divinizes your whole being, your mind, your senses, everything becomes divine. Then you're able to see him, because you have divine eyes. You're able to experience his divine bliss, because you have a divine mind, divine senses. Then when you leave this earth planet, when you die, you won't really die this time, you'll enter one of his divine abodes. Whichever form of Krishna you worshipped and did remembrance of, you'll go to that divine abode and enjoy those lilas forever. And through those lilas, you get to interact with Krishna and keep enjoying that divine bliss. So, this in a nutshell is who Sri Krishna is, how we are related to him, and how we can attain him. The path of his attainment is not difficult. Just wait for Veenaji. Just not there. The path of his attainment is not complicated. Bhakti is not difficult. It just takes desire. We have to desire him. If you desire him, then thinking of him becomes very easy. And to develop that desire, we need the correct knowledge. So that's why knowledge is also important on the path of bhakti. So to further your knowledge, although this series is finished, you can, there are several options for you. You can watch the speeches of Kripaluji Maharaj on television every day, on TV Asia and on Astha if you have a Dish Network. You can take his book, Prem Ras Siddhant, which is available here at the back of the room or online. This book has the total divine philosophy, everything you need to know to follow the path of bhakti. Everything I told you in the last 3 days, and many more important things that I didn't have time to tell you. Online, we have many resources for you as well. If you go to our website, radhamadhavdham.org, you'll see many videos of Kripaluji Maharaj, many series of speeches, both in Hindi and also Hindi with English subtitles. Many of my speeches are there in English as well. So there's a lot of material for you to further your knowledge, and there's also material for you to use in devotion. Meaning that we have kirtan available on the website, you can watch or listen to, you can order CDs from our website. You yourself can come and visit Radha Madhav Dham and see what it's like to practice bhakti there while you're in the ashram, which was specifically designed to uplift people's feelings of bhakti. And of course, you can join us whenever we have satsangs in your area. So I hope that we're able to gain something that helps you on your path of bhakti in this series, and I hope that we see more of each other in the future so that we can continue to grow together. Now, we're going to do one more kirtan before the aarti is at 7 o'clock. So before we have the aarti, we'll sing one more kirtan. And while we're doing the kirtan, you can just try to implement what we were talking about. That meaning, think of Krishna, think of his lilas, visualize him before you while we're doing the chanting. keep in mind that the kirtan is secondary. The main thing is your meditation. So do Roop Dhyan right now. Form an image of Krishna or Radha Krishna before you. Any age that you would like. Any form of Shri Krishna that you would like. And keep that form in front of you. Have the feeling that Shri Krishna is right here with me the whole time that you're doing the chanting. Then you'll be doing Smaran and Kirtan together, and that's the true form of Bhakti.